I'm Eric Allen for KLCC. Nuanced aspects of doubt and faith are explored in the Pulitzer Prize-winning play Doubt, A Parable, written by John Patrick Shanley. In it, a Catholic nun school principal faces challenges when she suspects an improper relationship between a beloved priest and a student, leading to ethical questions on all sides. The Not Ready for Retirement Players present Doubt at the Holt Center Studio in Eugene, August 18th through 27th. With me at KLCC are Chris Pinto and Chris McVeigh, who act in and direct the play, respectively. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thanks, Eric.
Well, doubt can be a bond as powerful and sustaining as certainty, says Father Flynn in the beginning of this play. What does that mean to you, Chris Pinto, as Father Flynn?
Well, as Father Flynn, I think what he's trying to say is that when you choose to have words that have an extreme consequence to them, that they should be without doubt. Because what happens is that people take innuendo or just a piece of something and they blow it up into their own dialogue. And so what happens is the truth gets sort of distorted and lost, and consequently people are struggling to try to make sense of how all of a sudden their lives could be completely turned around on just the misconception of what happens or doesn't happen.
Is there anything, Chris McVeigh, that you'd like to add to that?
Well, in practical terms, in terms of the play, he's talking about the certainty of, you know, our spiritual life. You know, whether if we hold to our certainties in our spiritual life, in our regular life, those are difficult to hold on to. Those are things that are difficult to hold on to. Doubt sneaks in easily, and it's something that we all of us deal with, doubt about our certainties. So I think in terms of the play, that's what he's talking about to introduce the themes that come.
Do you think letting go of that certainty and embracing the doubt is more of a good thing or a bad thing?
Oh, I think letting go of the certainty is essential in life.
Yeah,
there's doubt is without a doubt the place that you can be where you learn the most about yourself and about your friends and your family and everybody around you.
She asks me at one point, the young nun, why I make up stories to deliver a sermon. And she says, isn't the truth a better way to convey a message? And I say, oh, no, the truth makes for a bad sermon. It tends to be confusing and have no clear conclusion. And so that's part of what that whole thing about being there at Mass. I mean, when I was a kid and the priest would get up there, one of the most frustrating things for me was that they always read from the two readings first, and then they tried to take the gospel and fit it all together. And it was the rarity when you would have a priest who would actually go beyond those extremes, that it would start to talk to you like a person and would try to relate it to everyday life. That's the stories that he tells in this play. That's why it's called Doubt, A Parable. It's not just doubt. I mean, he purposely puts that in parentheses so that people understand that it's a story and that people need to understand that stories can get distorted.
How do you approach, as a director, Chris, bringing that aspect out in the play?
It really relies on the actors to understand that they're in a debate with each other. Sister James, who is the younger teacher in the school, is in a debate with Sister Aloysius, who is the principal of the school and an old school Catholic teacher, just the old school teaching method. Sister James is young, new, you know, has enthusiasm for the kids and for her job, and Sister Aloysius is different, more restrictive,
parochial,
more parochial, yeah, and so the actors are in debate with each other, and that's where you have the like Sister James does actually come to doubt, you know, what she's doing, and because of Sister Aloysius. Sister Aloysius also has her doubts, but they don't manifest themselves until the very end. So there's the relationship between Sister James and Father Flynn. She's in debate with herself and him about the validity of what Sister Aloysius is saying about him. You know, they're constantly in debate with each other and themselves.
If you think of it in terms of almost, it's sort of a series of scenes in which a trial takes place.
Mm-hmm.
And it's developed in the sense that one person lays out their case and the other person lays out their case. But when you really do a review of the facts, it comes down to what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You can doubt whether it was interpreted correctly by this party or by the other party. And so there's a lot of that. There's a lot of the old school Catholic tradition up against the new idea that kids not only are just to be pushed through to get to high school, but rather that you can have a relationship with them, that you can be a human being, that you can treat them with kindness and understanding. Whereas Sister Aloysius is an older style, which is, you know, there's, you have to be cold, you have to assume that they're always trying to put something over on you, you have to look at them with almost a jaundiced eye, because that's the way the human condition truly is. And so it's also a battle of faith against not so much faith.
Both of you come from a Catholic background, so how does that affect how you feel and present this play?
I think for me, being the priest, I served as an altar boy, so I really got to observe them up close and personal. The one thing I wanted to convey was that I wanted him to be an inspired speaker, because that was the one thing I didn't have too often when I was an altar boy. In fact, if I didn't ring those bells, I might not have woken up a few times. But the honest truth is that the words he speaks and the stories he's telling have some value, and they have a resonance. And so if I can be honest and true to that part of the story, I feel like I've done my job. The other part is for the audience to interpret. But for me, one of the worst things that happens in the world is when people are accused falsely, and even though they can prove their story, the more they prove it, the more they seem guilty. And so it's a vicious, vicious thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, as a Catholic altar boy as well, in the same period, as the play takes place, I had a strong vocation to the priesthood when I was in grade school. So throughout my grade school years, that was my focus. That's what I felt like I was destined to do. That obviously changed. So, but the priest was always my focus. They were my role model. And I never experienced what many have experienced. I don't know anyone from our school who did. May have happened, but I don't know any who did. But so I didn't have that negative connotation to the priesthood. though I did later have a negative connotation spiritually, so towards organized religion in general.
Hey, we don't want to get anybody upset.
Yeah, we don't want to get
don't want any upset. Lightning bolts in
but,
this booth.
the priest was always what the priest said, what the priest did. It was really all wrapped up for me in the ritual of the Mass and the ritual that priests would go through. As an altar boy, I witnessed them go through the ritual of dressing for the service and going step by step through. You could see them preparing to looking at the scripture in the big book on the pulpit and you know, making choices and moving ribbons around in this huge book. It was always fascinating to me, and I found the ritual of the process probably the most enthralling thing.
The thing I just want to say too is that I also did not have a bad experience. today my advisor's name would probably get a laugh. He was Father Ted Lay. But the truth was, when I was a sophomore in high school, I was struggling a little bit, and he personally went to bat for me, got me into the school play, and from there my life changed. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here today. But truthfully, I hope I can stay honest to some of the good things that these people do that sometimes get overlooked because of, overshadowed because of this tragedy. And that's the other thing, too, is that each person needs to be judged as a person and not as a category.
This strikes me as a play in which there would be very interesting conversations in rehearsal. Has that been the case?
We have. We have had interesting conversations, especially during the first read-through. We got together. We got to talk to the cast a little bit about our backgrounds and how we came to, like we are now, how we came to want to do this play. Though we didn't really get a lot of sharing back from from our cast about their experiences, We do during the rehearsal process talk a lot about, you know, what this means or what that means, how to approach this or that, and it rarely goes into the, you know, what the spirituality of the thing or it's more about the relationships, how those relationships and develop.
We are blessed to have very great actress Rebecca Nacheson playing Sister Aloysius, and along with her, a very talented young lady, Haley Henderson, who's been in town and is now going to Washington to get her MFA in their very prestigious program, and Samira Labi, a young lady that we were able to wrestle into this project, along with an old goat like myself. The rehearsals have been very invigorating, a lot of excitement, one night we actually had a few laughs when we brought in our recorded crow sound effect, and for some reason we just let loose that night and all the tension disappeared, and that was good.
We've had a few of those rehearsals.
Yeah, you wouldn't think you'd laugh at that.
We could not stop laughing. Because it does. It gets so serious that at times you just have to start. You just break into laughter.
Well, this play was originally set in the 60s. Do you think the social context of then versus now has changed the issues at all, or is it timeless?
Oh, it's changed, I think. I think that back in the 60s, when we were kids, there was a certain amount of you just did what the church said and you had to accept it as gospel. I mean, that just was the way it was. And when they had the big changeover, when they tried to make masses more encompassing, when they went to the youth masses where guitars were allowed in and people started singing songs that were more reminiscent of the 60s and 70s, the church evolved in that sense. But today's church, when you go into it, when I go to Mass occasionally, I always feel a little bit like an outsider because I think, wow, I mean, they've even changed some of the retorts that we've had forever. And I get a sense that it's not nearly as exciting as it was back then when I was a kid, because I think the church needs to continue to evolve like anything else. And they have a lot of tradition that they don't seem to do that. Although I do think the new pope, or he's not been new for a while, but he is a great man, and the way that he treats kids, I think, is refreshing. I mean, you just see that there's a real love of kids there. When that one boy was running between his legs during that speech, and he just put his hand gently on his head, and the security guard didn't carry him away, I realized this is a good man. It's hard to say that things don't change, but the church certainly has gotten to the point where I think it got more free and now it's getting more conservative again, and maybe it's moving back towards being more open. You think that's true?
I actually think that there is an opportunity for the church to become more open, especially with, like you said, Francis. And I think his attitudes towards the church, I don't know if he has a lot of support politically inside the Vatican for the kinds of changes I think he'd like to make. And as a, you know, ex-Catholic and everything, I have to say I follow the politics of the Vatican religiously. So it's sort of it's still a fascination with me. So,
Well, a parable intends to impart a lesson or wisdom in some fashion. Is that any more difficult in a play that has no conclusion, or is the lesson clear nonetheless?
Oh, I think the lesson is taken by each individual in this. They'll take a lesson. The parable is so open, even though there's a message to it, it's open enough that you can apply that lesson that is implicit in the parable to a whole lot of a host of other things in your life. And I think the play does the same thing. There is an implicit lesson at the end, but there's more to it. There are a lot of different things that come up during the course of the play that make the conclusion whole yet open.
And the other thing I want to say is that, as I said earlier, that the play definitely points out one thing. It's not just about doubting your religion or doubting yourself or doubting your sexuality or your preferences. It's also about the fact that when we say things about others or ourselves, that words actually have consequence. And today, that's so relevant because we see every day how words are bandied about and lives are at stake. And in a way, that's really what this play is about, because these people have very rigid lives. They're in a religious order, so what they do and what they can do is very well defined. But if something happens and they're not allowed to do it, if you truly believe in your faith, if you truly believe in God, that would be the most off-putting thing that could happen to you, because now you would be removed from what is the thing that guides you through your life, which is your spirituality. So for me, the fact that words change and set about just an action changes everything. She basically says to him, "I saw you grab this boy by the wrist and he pulled away." Mm-hmm. And he goes, "That's all? But that was nothing." So small things can matter.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for bringing such a challenging and deep play to the stage, and thanks for coming into GALCC.
Thank you for having us so much. And, this is a great adventure for us because it's an opportunity for people to come see Studio Theater downtown at the Holt Center. And we are inviting everyone to please come this weekend. Before you go to the Eclipse, have a good time and come and see a very light play like Doubt.
Chris Pinto and Chris McVeigh from the Not Ready for Retirement Players, who present Doubt, a Parable at the Holt Center Studio in Eugene. Performances are August 18th through 27th, with evening performances on Fridays and Saturdays and Sunday matinees. For tickets and information, HoltCenter.org, and see the Facebook page for the Not Ready for Retirement Players. For an extended version of this interview, KLCC.org. For KLCC, I'm Eric Allen.